Thank you, Lord. On last week, in talking about divine disruption for unleashed potential, I think before I talked about that, and Pastor Jamal picked up on it again, as we were, as the leaders came up and we prayed, just the seemingly the attack right now in the body of Christ, particularly on leaders, particularly on teams of people who are functioning in trying to get and cause there to be, if you will, division and just folks just decide, and I'm done. And I get that. I think we all can be in those places and we can all kind of go through those seasons. And this week, as I was just, I spend time praying all the time. I just pray all the time. I mean, I just either talking to the Lord or, you know, and I think that's a good discipline to have. But I found myself thinking about here we are in, we've come into June, and we're right coming into the middle of the year. And we started out our year with the theme of aggressive kingdom advancement. And I'm grateful because we have aggressively moved forward. We have aggressively moved forward. Come on. And one of the reasons why it's so nice and comfortable in this auditorium, is it cold? Oh, y'all, now see, don't even try that. It ain't cold in here. Don't even fix your mouth to say it's cold. See, you just can't please some saints. Glory to God, wear a sweater next week. Now listen, y'all gotta, come on, just thank God, right? I'm gonna thank the Lord right now. Because I'm telling you, it was July 17th last year, my birthday, when we had our 65th anniversary. And we had a lot of folk up in here, and it was the hottest that I think it had ever been in here. It was hottest. Yeah, you fill in that blank. And I said, this would be the last summer that we, yes, I did. And I want to say to you, see, there's moments you reach where you've got to be that emphatic about your life.
Yes.
And that's not being prideful, it's not being arrogant, but it's like you're drawing the line of demarcation, you're putting a stake in the ground, and you're saying, look, it ain't going no further than this, or it ain't going to be like this ever again, or this time next year, you know, like a tomorrow about this time, next year about this time. Yeah. And so, you know, we came into this year with, I came into this year with that word, aggressive kingdom advancement. And it's a reality. It needs to be a reality for your personal life as well as for what we do here corporately and collectively. If you're joined to this house, you have some stake and ownership in the embassy. If you're part of the e-campus, you got a stake and ownership in the embassy. You can tell people, I got property. Your line should be saying, I got property in the United States.
That's right.
It's called the embassy. It's about a mind shift. It's about a mind shift. And so by God's grace, you know, we've been able to start to get some of the things done to make this comfortable for people to want to come. But we're right about at the half-year mark. And let me read this passage of Scripture here first. And I just want to talk maybe about 20, 22 minutes or so. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And this is from the Message Bible, or the Message. It's not a translation, so. But it talks about, it says it this way. We know Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the King James, seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. And you should know some scriptures like that. There ought to be at least 2-3 scriptures that just in you. And the more you have in you, the deeper the roots. Message Bible. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So when you find yourself fledging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Sometimes we're stuck because we're in a place and what we're going through, and we're dealing with it with the mindset that nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody really understands what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with. And yet the scriptures make it clear in Peter, where it says, know that the same afflictions that you're dealing with are being accomplished in your brethren, meaning everybody's dealing with something. It's just on varied levels. It's at varied degrees based on, very often, it's based on the call on your life, the position in your life. Often, though, it's also based on decisions. It's just based on choices that you've made. Choices that are made, or choices that should have been made that were never made. And so here we are in the middle, coming to the middle of the year, and I was listening to, I think it was called A Minute with Maxwell, John Maxwell. But he started talking a little bit about being flexible, but he kind of couched it in a moment in talking about sports. And he just kind of made this phrase. He talked about the halftime. And so for the next few moments, that's what I want to talk to you about and give some, hopefully, some encouragement and instruction. I'm going to give some instruction. I do know that. But for the next few moments, I want to talk about halftime adjustments. Halftime adjustments. So you know, when you're watching sports and you're watching that team, the NBA finals are going on right now, and it could be the NFL. You know, the teams that have four quarters. Let's do with that. Okay, so we got basketball, we got football. Okay. And so you know how they'll play that first quarter, they'll play that second quarter, and then there's halftime. Most often, any team, when they're going into the match, they have already kind of mapped out their plays. If it's a football team, they've got 8, 10 plays, 12, maybe 15 plays already mapped out. They've studied their opponents to the degree that they can. Same thing if it's basketball. They have their plays and they've studied their opponents to the best that they can. And then they go into the game. But once they get into the game, all of a sudden, they've got to be able to maneuver and they've got to be flexible, because sometimes what you thought was going to be the plan really is not going to work. And the reason why I believe I'm hearing this word right now, for many of you, for many of us, maybe for all of us, and those that are watching as well, is that there is the need right now for some halftime adjustments. So you know how you're watching the game? Pastor Maurice was asking me one time, because I've been to some pro games, football and basketball. Any of you ever been to pro basketball games? Like, matter of fact, I was up in Pontiac and went to a game with Robert Joyce. He was the chaplain for the Pistons. Yeah, so I'm meeting Grant and some of these different players and stuff. I remember being there, and I'm sitting on the floor. So you know how you see the commentators and stuff sitting behind them or people sitting on set? That's where I'm sitting. It was the most boring game I'd ever sat through. Because I'm sitting here just watching these guys run, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, this man. Because what's missing is, and this is what I was sharing with Pastor Maurice, I said, I will always choose to watch the game at home than watch it in the state, watch it live. Because what you don't have is you don't have the commentators, you don't have the replays, okay? There's a lot of things that you don't experience when you're in the moment and you're right there in it. And so it's like, you know, they'll do the play, and then if you're watching on TV, they'll show you the replay, and they might even slow it down for you, you know, so you can get the full effect while they're talking about it. But if you're sitting there, and I'm sitting there, like, you know, on the second row, and I'm looking at these big guys, and I'm saying, man, this is, you know, you pay money for this? And, you know, you can hear the music that's playing, but that's about it. But there's these guys that are the commentators. So when it goes to the halftime, there's the halftime reports. So that's the guys that are either the commentaries who either used to play and they've retired, so now they're commentaries, or sports analysts who just know the game, and they sit and they talk about what just happened. And all of them are talking about it in terms of what happened and what they think should happen, you know, relative to both teams, depending on how those teams played moving forward into the second half. And it all sounds good. But the problem with that is you ain't on the court. You're not even playing. At best, it's just maybe a well-educated discussion. Because when they go to the second half, you ain't going down there. You're just kind of weighing in on what you saw. So there's the halftime reports. But then there's the halftime adjustments. You know where those happen? In the locker room. They happen in the locker room. That's the most important assessment when we talk about halftime adjustments. In the locker room, now it's the coach. And the coach discusses what happened and makes adjustments to improve their chances for success. Meaning, when they're in the locker room and they're talking, if they're down, meaning they're losing, he's going to talk to them about what they need to do to get back on the winning side. If they're winning, he's talking to them about what they need to do to make sure they keep winning when they go back out. But in it, the key to the success of the second half is that everyone make the needed and necessary adjustments. Either we're going to keep doing what we're doing or do it better, or we need to make these adjustments so when we go back out, we can position ourselves to win. So there's this halftime assessment and adjustment that's made by the coach with the players. Because the coach is the one who's calling the plays. The coach is the one who's watching the game. The coach is the one to be responsible to help them be successful. That's why he's paid what he's paid. But the key is that in the halftime, everybody is engaged so that when halftime is over, when they come out the locker room, everybody's real clear on what we need to do when we go back out. There is the need for adjustment, and the adjustment needs to be immediately. Say immediately. We've got this phrase from Pastor Nina some years ago, swift obedience. Swift obedience. When the coach is talking to the team, sometimes the main players of the team, the franchise players, those are the ones that are the stars on the team. They weigh in, and everybody's either encouraging or like, man, you need to step it up when we get back out here, man. You know, we're down, and you know, you need to make sure he doesn't score anymore. And they're saying all these kind of things, and everybody's listening. Everybody's like, okay, and then they go back out. When they go back out, immediately they've got to be ready to re-engage. Yeah. And they have to immediately be ready to make whatever changes that need to be made. They got to do it with swift obedience. Therein comes to this place of what I would call the flexibility factor for all of us. You see, we're here in June now, and we're right about at the half-year mark. We're right about at halftime. And I believe that for all of us, there's a need for some flexibility. Flexibility characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. So I want to say that a few times, Pastor Deborah. Flexibility characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. Come on, say flexibility. Now, you don't need the Holy Ghost to be flexible. It's not a spiritual thing here. It's just, sometimes it's just common sense. Flexibility characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. See, those that are flexible, you know, people will say, you know, blessed are the flexible, for they will not break. Or they will not be broken. I like that, okay? But even more strongly, those that are flexible are the ones who are able to adapt. And the reason why this is important for you and I right now in this season, and it's important for me as well, is that I begin to look at, we're coming to the mid part of the year, and it's if Holy Ghost, it's like the Father says, it's halftime. It's halftime. I need to come to the locker room. Now, one of the things about halftime is that you never see, Pastor Deborah, do I need to say that again? Okay. Pastor Jamal, one of the things about halftime is you never see one player not go in with everybody else. I don't care whether it's LeBron. I don't care whether it's Steph Curry. I don't care whether it's Draymond Green, any of them. When halftime, everybody's coming. It ain't like, hey, you know what? I just hit 5 threes. I'm sitting right here. Y'all go get yourselves together and come on back out. Because they're a team. Say they're a team. And so they all go together, and they recognize there is a need to be flexible, characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. Now, I think it's wise to say this, so repeat this after me. Father, help me to be flexible. But sometimes that flexibility is just a matter of being obedient. Not staying stuck. And so this is a good time of the year to be able to look and begin to ask ourselves the question, are there areas that I need to be more flexible moving forward? Because I want to be successful at the end of this year. I want to be successful personally, and I want to be successful corporately. I want to be successful as the CEO of the embassy. I want to be successful as the apostle and senior pastor of Heirs Covenant Church. I want you to be successful. So no matter where the team is, when it's halftime, there's all these conversations that are going on. The most important conversations are the ones that are taking place in the locker room. It has everything to do with who's going to win and who's going to lose, who's going to reach the goal at the end. There is the need to be adaptable. And very often times, what we find ourselves in is God himself, we either call an audible or call a timeout. Because you see, before halftime and after halftime, in the midst of the game, when things ain't quite going the way they need to go, he says, timeout. Sometimes the players know we got to get ourselves together. They timeout. I was looking at a little video the other day. It was the Bulls, and it was Dennis Rodman. Some of y'all might know who that player was. And Dennis Rodman, he's kind of got the ball right here. He's like trying to, you know, like, I'm trying to get a timeout. Because he knows that we got to pause to get ourselves together. There's times when all of us need to have time out. Shut the TV off. Put the phone down. Yeah, I'm talking to myself as well. Shut down the computer. Now, I really don't have as much problem with that as I might let on. I've always learned to set aside time, have time out. And you've heard me talk about that before, where I'll just shut in. The many things that have happened in my life, the good things, have come out of those kinds of times, those kinds of time out. But for us, for myself personally, and for us as a house, and for those that may be watching and this is resonating for you, I want to tell you that I believe Holy Spirit is saying we are at this place right now of halftime adjustments. That you're able to look at your year, look at where you started in the year, where you are right now, and then be able to posture yourself to hear from the coach, the Holy Ghost. That we begin to understand what the second half needs to look like. If it's going well, he may say, keep going. But I don't know, because the word I got was the next level. So that means it's going good. There's more. Every team that gives themselves to the process of the halftime conversation, pep talk, whatever it is, usually wins at the end. They've learned to be flexible. They've learned to adjust. So what is it for you as you look to the last half of the year that God is saying, we need to make these adjustments now. You need to make these adjustments now. We as a house need to make these adjustments now. And how do you posture yourself, position yourself to get the instruction that you need? You see, when they're in that locker room, they're going through plays. It could be on a whiteboard, however they have it. Okay, when we get back out here, listen, this play right here, this play ain't been working, so we're going to this play right here. We understand a little bit more the strategy of our opponent. For you and I, we only have one enemy. He's already defeated, but he's going to keep trying stuff. He's going to keep trying things over and over and over until you and I just shut him down. Until you and I get to the place where we say, that doesn't work anymore. It'll never work again. And that's when that stops. You can't come that way ever again in my life. I'm shutting it down. I'm shutting it down for my generation and future generations. But I want to encourage us as we find ourselves now in June and as you look to the remainder of the year. See, my personal prayer is, Father, show me the adjustments that I need to make so at the end of the year, I see the reality of what you've shown me. That it's not my dream, but your dream that's being fulfilled. In James chapter 1, this is from the Message Bible as well, it helps us to see again the workings of the word and our posture in it that allows us to be able to receive what we need. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, consider it sheer gift, Message Bible, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. I submit to some of you that the first half of this year has helped you to see yourself no matter where you see yourself. You may see yourself and you're just fine. That's good. But you may see yourself and you realize that you're faith deficient. And that there needs to be some adjustments now to shore up your faith life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I want you to also understand faith activated. Faith is strengthened as you activate it and walk it out, as you exercise it. It's what produces, if you will, your spiritual muscles that would cause, that things that would cause others to faint won't cause you to faint. Things that would cause others to buckle won't cause you to buckle because you've exercised your faith. You've learned from it. You've grown from it. It has increased your ability to manage things. It goes on and says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. It's sad to say that in the church, in the body of Christ, we still have way too many immature folk. And when I talk about maturity, I'm not talking about your gifts in operation. I'm talking about your ability to live life in victory, where you are not shook by things as others who have little faith or no faith at all. You see, it doesn't mean that you and I live in denial. It just means we've grown in our faith, we've matured in our faith, and we become well-developed in our faith. So you can look at the same thing that someone else is looking at. They're worried about it. They're concerned about it. But you're looking at it, and you're saying it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Why? Because I'm speaking it out of the place of faith that I've learned to operate in. Sometimes we take issue with what we would call word of faith teachers because they speak out of a place of such confidence and boldness. But the reality is we need more saints like that. That have matured, that even when life is hitting them and things are hitting them, they're saying, no, it is well. I remember Mother Gwen Stewart. Y'all remember Mother Gwen? That was her statement. It is well. It is well. See, that's a faith statement. That's a mature place in God, even while you're walking through what you're walking through. Because the reality as the believer is, we're either going to be challenged by something that's trying to oppose us, or we're going to be challenged by something God shows us that we think is beyond us. But it's the same faith in operation. It's the same faith that's in operation. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And then he says this, and if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. If you don't know what you're doing, ask. If you don't know what you're doing, admit that you don't know what you're doing. Humility is the beginning of wisdom. When you can humble yourself, even if you thought you knew and now you know you don't, say, I thought I knew, but I don't know. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescending to you when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. I've been praying over the past couple of weeks now that we're in the process of putting in our HVAC units. And my prayer to the Father is, I need your wisdom now. I need your wisdom on how to do this and get the job finished, to get the rest of what we need in the building. I need your wisdom. And the very acknowledgement is what produces or opens the door to be able to hear the answers. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. You know what it means, worry their prayers? Oh, God, I'm just asking you, that would you please? Now, that sounds humble. It sounds contrite. But there has to come a season, and I'm still on this halftime adjustment, because for some of you, your halftime adjustment is this right here. How you pray. What are you praying? So, I'm not going to say that. I don't have to. Pray in confidence. Yes. All right. Or don't pray at all. Pray in confidence. Pray in faith. Believing that when you pray, he hears you. Yes. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you ask anything in my name, he will hear you. And I will do it. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. That's why I know it sounds spiritual. I know it sounds spiritual. I get challenged, though, with little things like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Well, yeah, Lord willing. I mean, you know something I don't know? I mean, am I leaving? Or you? Now, hear me. If you're starting to feel some kind of way that isn't positive, that ain't me. That ain't God. And that ain't Holy Ghost. This is the halftime adjustment. He wants us to grow and mature and pray out of a place of authority. Yes. Yes. Speak out of a place of authority. Yes. So going back to our sports analogy, I don't care whether it's on the football field or whether it's on the basketball court, every guy on that court, every guy on that field recognize, I'm here because I'm bad. All right. I'm here because I got the goods. They paying me $52.1 million to be on this field. I'm not guessing. They not expecting me to guess. When that quarterback takes that hike and I'm the tight end or the receiver, he expected me to be down that field ready to catch that ball. And my thought isn't, I hope I can catch it. I hope I can catch it. I hope I can catch it. The basketball player, Steph Curry's one of the most incredibly gifted three-point shooters. He'll take a shot and just run on down the court. Don't even look back. It's confidence. So this is the halftime adjustment. If you don't know, ask. Again, using the sports analogy, there's times when you need to time out. You can look at your players and recognize the wore out. God can look at his children and recognize the wore out. He has a way of calling the time out, saying, come here. As a matter of fact, Matthew 11 kind of speaks to that, where he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He says, come to me, get away with me, and you will cover your life. It's like the coach that's looking at his team. And the team's doing good, but they're getting tired. I need to pull them out before their opponent gets an advantage on them because they're a little wearied. So the coach calls a timeout. The coach calls a timeout, and they come to the side. He says, you know what? Y'all doing great. I can just tell you you're a little tired. I need y'all to just sit a minute. Just get a quick break in. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Say real rest. He says, walk with me and work with me. He's talking about pace yourself. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Halftime adjustment. Halftime adjustment. It's in Isaiah 40. This is my last scripture that I'm going to share with you for now. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Message Bible, he energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. All right. For even young people tire and drop out, and young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Halftime adjustment.